In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's rock and roll, man. We got a full slate of college football on tap. NASCAR's back in the rotation, and so is Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts. Steve, happy Labor Day weekend. Always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Yeah, in order to celebrate Labor Day on Monday in both Canada and the U.S., we will not have a show.
So, yeah, we've got a it's not a best of, but we're looking back. We've been doing a lot of fantasy previews. DFS week one. So we've got a good show lined up for people on Monday, and I gave people some picks for Monday as well. So let's jump in right now, Steve, and take a look at some college football games on the board tonight and on Saturday. Let's start off with the Washington Huskies and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. A lot of points to be laying on the road, but Rutgers were one of the worst big-time college football programs in the country last year. It's a lot of points. To me, I like the over because people think Washington were a fluke last year. Washington weren't a fluke last year, and they're loaded again this year. Yeah, they lost John Ross. They got Gaskin. They got Pettis. They got Browning back. I prefer to bet on the over of this game, Steve, than I do a side. Give me over 52.5 here.
Yeah, and you're going to probably want Washington to get there for you, obviously.
And I think they can. I think they put 45-50 up on the board.
Well, they averaged 42 points a game last season, and they returned 7 starters. So I don't see any reason why they won't drop off. And keep in mind, Chris Peterson's an offensive-minded coach. You know, he was really good at Boise State over the years, and he obviously turned this program around. What an amazing turnaround. This is a team, that really had struggled to have winning seasons. They were 7-6 for a lot of the recent years. They were 8-6, 7-6 his first 2 years, and then, of course, 12-1 going into that playoff game, which they lost last year. So you've got a top 5, top 10 team coming in technically off a loss. So, a little bit of motivation there for those 7 returning offensive starters. And they're taking on a Rutgers team they put up 48 on at home last year. It's a rematch of that opener, and they were a 26-point home favorite in the opener last year, and now they get the home and home, and they're laying more than that on the road, but not that much more, and I really don't think these teams have changed that much.
Yeah, and it's not like Rutgers have some distinct home field advantage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at all. They really don't. People that go to Rutgers don't even like the Rutgers teams. Yeah, and it's funny that you brought it up. They played last year and it was 48-13, so they ended up getting the cover, and it went over. Would have went over this number as well. Very similar to that Rice Stanford game that we talked about. And look, Stanford was able to get to the over on their own. Steve, I see a similar situation, sort of a similar final score. 44-14. Maybe it's 51-17 or something like that. I prefer to bet on the over than I do the side, but I do think Washington are going to roll them, and I do like the over.
Yeah, what concern obviously with the over would be that Rutgers averaged less than 16 points a game last year, and they only managed 13 in this one. But that
should be a little better. Should be a little bit better. I think they can get to 17 or 20.
Yeah, they've got 6 guys back on offense. They've got 8 back on defense, but the defense gave up almost 38 points a game last year. It is the second year for Chris Ash. But you bring up a lack of a home field. And the other thing to keep in mind is this is a coast-to-coast travel spot for Washington, but it's their first game of the season. And we talked about this last week, leading into some of those early games. Travel, like for Hawaii last week, going to UMass, normally that would look like a hellacious travel situation. The results may vary because of it, but all things equal, it's not as bad making a coast-to-coast travel trip here in the first week as opposed to like the middle of the season.
All right, Colorado State and Colorado. Very, very interesting football game. This is a great rivalry that flies under the radar. They usually play in the first game of the year. It's a little bit unique. Colorado, it's their first game of the year. But the Rams got a game and a win. And, they hung 58 points up on the board already under their belt. So they've got momentum coming into this spot. Pretty high total at 66.5. The number keeps coming down, man. Colorado State are a very trendy pick this week.
Yeah, this is an angle I used to use in the NFL preseason, and it doesn't work as well now because people found out about it. Plus, we don't have a lot of teams that qualify because now we just have the Hall of Fame game, just 2 teams that play 1 week sooner. And in college football, it very rarely happens because most teams start in the same week. But this is a rare situation where we have one team, as you said, Colorado State, that has a game in hand. against a team that hasn't played yet. And I think it's a huge advantage, especially in college football where there's no preseason whatsoever. We often see the biggest changes between weeks one and two. So I think that's a substantial edge for Colorado State here. But Colorado should be a pretty good offensive team this year. They got nine guys back on that offense that put up 31 points a game last year. The concern is going to be the defense. They were a solid defensive club last year, getting up less than 22 points a game. They only have three starters back on D. You know, so the offense should be there, but then again, it's only their first game. I think it's an interesting spot for Colorado State, and it's an angle we don't get to use much in college football.
Yeah, down to three. A great point that you raised with the no preseason as well compounds the fact that they've got a game under the belt. But at the same point in time, maybe the kids on campus in Colorado State and Fort Collins are feeling a little bit too good about themselves after putting 58 up. And can they beat Pac-12 teams in back-to-back weeks? Think about it, Steve. Oregon State Beavers, now Colorado. It'd be pretty impressive for a Mountain West team to go 2-0 against the Pac-12 to open the season.
And the other thing to keep in mind, Gabe, there's two ways to look at this. Colorado's been prepping for Colorado State for over a month now. Colorado State was probably prepping for Colorado, but not as much so, obviously.
Plus,
we have game film on Colorado State now.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to throw out real quick, too, is this game was on a neutral field last year. Colorado was an 8.5-point favorite. They won by 37, 44-7. So the question becomes, have they really closed the gap that much in one season?
I think that was kind of an anomaly, though. I mean, I don't have the rest of the scores in front of me. I guess I could pop it up here, but I want to move on to the next game. But usually they play relatively close games. And, you know, Colorado State already came on in the second half of the season last year. And I hate to be redundant, but I don't see how this game. I'm not playing the under 66.5. Route 66, Steve, takes me to an over paradise. This game's going over the number.
Well, like I said, Colorado, nine offensive starters back, three on D, so I wouldn't argue with that.
All right. When I went to the IFBC in Costa Rica during my presentation, I gave Florida Atlantic to go over four wins. It got bet up to 4.5. I loved it at 4 because you got that push, but I still think they're going to get there with Lane Kiffin, with Kendall Briles, with the quarterback that they brought in, the transfer kid, Jordan from Florida State. This is a pretty deep Florida Atlantic team, and they're going to be extremely well coached. The number's been coming down all summer in this football game here with the middies laying 9.5, Steve, against Florida Atlantic. Similar total, same total as Colorado and Colorado State, 66.5.
Yeah, you know, Navy, over the last two or three decades, has been an automatic point spread winner on the road. They've covered over 60% of the time. However, almost every one of those games, they've been an underdog. Most of them, they've probably been a double-digit underdog. So you got to be a little careful with that statistic, because a team like Navy is obviously always a good big dog on the road because they're disciplined, they're a service academy, they run the option, they keep games close. You know, all those numbers you kind of throw out the window when they're almost a double-digit favorite now on the road. One thing about option teams is when you have extra prep time, it's a huge advantage. And this being Florida Atlantic's first game, they've had all summer, a full month, to prepare for the option offense.
Yeah.
So a little bit of an edge there. And I do think Kiffin will turn them around. It's just a question, will he turn them around enough in week one to be competitive, you know, with a pretty good bowl caliber team?
We've got Utah State. Utah, and, you know, before we actually, one thing. You brought that up, actually. And I was thinking the exact same thing with the Tennessee Volunteers and Georgia Tech on Monday night. You know, Georgia Tech are tricky to play, especially for teams that haven't seen it before. But most of the teams have seen it, that play in their conference, obviously. So you get Tennessee's not seen it before, but they've had all summer to prepare for this. Although it is different when you're facing live bullets.
There's no question that Georgia Tech has been weaker against teams that have a bye week. That's an angle I use a lot, actually, during the regular season. Even just that one week to prepare, Georgia Tech's numbers, both point spread numbers, you know, rushing statistics, everything, have been weaker in ACC games. So I do think the fact that a quality team like Tennessee has a full month is an edge.
You know, one thing we get about this, it's almost like the knuckleballer. You know, I always wonder, like, how come people can't stop this? And they say, well, we don't play enough teams. You don't play. It's sort of like the road course racing in NASCAR, which we'll get to. There's not enough road course races for me to really worry about it. And it's a similar situation with this option stuff, trying to stop it. Teams really don't care about it. They don't see it that often, right? So they'll sort of deal with it. And Tennessee, you know, if you have the athletes and the speed, you can close the gaps pretty fast. But that's going to be a fun football game on Monday. We'll get your quick take on that after. Utah State and Wisconsin, a game no one's really talking about, flying under the radar. Badgers laying 27.5. Every year, the Badgers are the Badgers. They're the same every year, Steve. So I don't even, you know, here they are, they're ranked ninth coming into the year, and I can't argue it.
Yeah, you know, this number's actually come down a couple months ago. You know, there's a handful of books that had advanced numbers for week one. I saw this as high as 31.5 this summer, and now it's 27.5. So it's come down below that key number of 28, obviously, which is four touchdowns. I think one of the reasons the line has dropped is because Wisconsin, they don't have the makeup of a blowout type of team. They're kind of a run-based team still. They're, you know, defensive first, you know, grind it out type of team. And I think bettors get leery to lay big numbers because of that. They only averaged 28 points a game last year, only 27 points per game the year before that. With that said, though, I think this game is a complete mismatch. Utah State returns just 10 starters. They're just 1-11 on the road the last 2 years. And I think that rushing edge will be enough for Wisconsin to win by more than four touchdowns, even though they're not the type of team that normally blows somebody out.
Yeah, Utah State got okay, actually, for a couple of years. But they're falling back on hard times once again. And it's sort of very similar, actually, to Northern Illinois, Steve. Northern Illinois, these guys have been money. You know, they've been one of the most dominant teams, the most dominant team in the MAC over the years. The last 2 years, the wheels are starting to fall off a little bit for the Huskies right now, but they do have some talent back. You know, what do you expect from this program? Was that an anomaly the last couple of years they've struggled? Because they've gone through a lot of quarterbacks and injuries. They've had a lot of bad luck the last few seasons. You know, this is a rock-solid program. They played a BCS bowl game. Steve, you know, which direction is this program going in? And they're getting points against a Boston College team that struggles to put points on the board. You know, I keep talking about, I like all these overs. You know, Boston College, Northern Illinois, this should be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I mean, normally if you see an ACC team laying just 3.5 against a MAC team, you'd feel pretty good about that bet. But then again, Boston College is a borderline ACC team in recent years. They did go 7-6 last year, though, don't forget. This is a team that went 3-9 the year before. They've gone 7-6 every one of those other 3 years since then. And this is also a team that's in fifth year under their head coach. 7-6 every year but that one, as I mentioned, and they return 15 starters. So I actually think Boston College could be a lot better than expected this year. It does concern me that they've always scored 20 and 17 per game the last two seasons. I expect better things. I think the real question mark here, like you said, Gabe, is, you know, how much does Northern Illinois fall off this season?
All right. So, yeah, it's a weird game. I'm going to go under the number here. I'm going to go under 51, Steve. Under 51.5. Both teams are going to run the ball. Boston College are built on defense. That's how they win games.
No question. Last year, their games averaged 45 a game. The year before that, they averaged 32.5. Can you believe that?
Yeah, so we're getting a decent number here with this number. All right, so before we move on to some NASCAR, we got to hit some of the Saturday bigger games. Which one of these games have caught your eye?
Well, I mean, the huge game, obviously, is the Florida State-Alabama game. That line's hovering right around that key number of 7. You know, it's unfortunate one of these teams has to lose in week one because these really probably are two of the three best teams. I think Bama's still the team to beat this season. And, you know, something about Nick Saban having a full month to prepare, I just feel like he has the coaching edge there. You know, the question is, will it become enough to win by more than 7? It does seem like teams have started to close the gap on them in recent years, and we saw that with Clemson almost beating them 2 years ago and then beating them in the title game. So I think that's going to be a great game, and I think that number of 7's looking pretty sharp right now.
Yeah, a lot of people are starting to buy into the points, but Alabama just, they knocked the crap out of people in these openers. Last year, everybody liked USC, and Alabama murdered them.
Yeah, and I mean, and USC really was bad that first month, you know, with the quarterback issue. That the only starter they lost on offense was their quarterback, and they were god-awful for that first month, and they were maybe as good as anybody after that. Another one that's obviously a huge game Saturday afternoon is the Michigan-Florida game. It's in Arlington, Texas, a couple hours away from the Houston area, so I'm assuming that game will still happen even with all the flooding down there. I don't think it hit Arlington or Dallas. Over-under is 45, which is a really low total for a big college football game. But then again, you know, Florida's kind of like Boston College that we just talked about. They've been all defense, no offense the last couple seasons. Question for you, Gabe, you know, as a Michigan guy, is, you know, will that defense with, I think, what, one returning starter, will it reload or do they have to rebuild?
Yeah, and it's down to 43 even now at some spots. I think they reload, and I think they actually catch a break. It's not like they're playing Oklahoma State's offense or something in week one. I think Michigan, it's very, very favorable matchup for them. Because, you know, Florida just don't have the firepower offensively, really, to stretch the field on them. Their best wide receiver is suspended. They're going with the kid at quarterback, with the Felipe Franks kid. But I imagine all three of them will end up playing during the game. You know, I do have some slight concerns about Michigan's defense coming into the year. But with that being stated, I don't think Florida can exploit them. The number is just climbing, though, man. It was 3.5, and now it's up to 5, Steve. You know, you could get Michigan on the money line at -160 48 hours ago. Now it's -220 on the money line.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Michigan offense that returns only four starters, but they got the quarterback, you know, back, one of the best in the nation. So I think this is the type of program that rebuilds now, reloads rather than rebuilds, as you said. I guess the only concern there is, has Harbaugh been there long enough to get his guys in? But it's not like he took over a MAC program. I mean, this is still one of the top 10 recruiting classes every year, no matter who the coach is. So I think they do reload. I think it's a little misleading when you see only five returning starters for a program like that.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
All right, Steve. So we're back on the NASCAR circuit right now. What is it? The Bojangles Southern 500.
Yeah, Darlington, one of the most historic tracks, and they only have one race a season now. So I mean, what they did was basically they gave them the primetime spot on Labor Day weekend, but they don't have two; they only have one. It's a very unique track. The surface is extremely rough, so you go through a lot of tires. It's not going to be a fuel mileage race, and the pit strategy, you know, and experience really makes a difference here.
And we're down to two races, right? We're down to two left before the playoff chase starts. Feels like NASCAR has been off forever. Like they had that bye week. I'm out of my NASCAR groove here, Steve.
I feel the same way. They had a Saturday night race at Bristol, and then they were off for a week, so there haven't been any Sunday. And the next week is Richmond as well. Actually, this is a Sunday race. It's a Sunday night race. Next week is the Saturday night race at Richmond. So the schedule is a little quirky right now. It'll be very streamlined once they start the final 10 in the chase. But, you know, the same guys do well here. They do well at the cookie cutter tracks. It's a different type of track. It's not like a true cookie cutter, but it's a 1 mile oval. And you would have to expect Kyle Busch and Truex Jr. to be as fast as anybody once again.
I'm looking at Denny Hamlin's numbers here. Denny Hamlin's been very successful here.
Very, very good. In fact, the last six starts here, he's been top six in five of the six. He's been top four in four of the last five. And as we know, the Gibbs cars have been the fastest of any team this season.
All right. So what about the playoffs? And where are we at now with this, Steve? You know, are guys going to be cautious? Are they going to be risking it? We know Logano's going to be balls in here, doing whatever the hell he can do to try to get a win. But it seems we see it because the guys that are already in, they can do whatever they want. You know what I mean? They can take a chance. They don't have to worry. And it seems on a weekly basis recently, we had all those first-time winners and different winners for the first 15, 16 weeks, Steve. Now it seems over the last down little stretch, it's guys that are already in that are just winning again because their cars are good and they got no stress or no really, you know, there's no pressure. Like if you're someone like Kenseth, you're trying to backdoor this thing maybe without getting a win. You're not going to do anything stupid if you're riding in sixth place or something. Really makes the dynamic interesting down the stretch.
Yeah, what's really interesting about the setup right now is that unless one of these guys on the outside wins one of these final two races, which is fairly unlikely, there's really not a lot of drama who's going to make the chase. As great as the season's been with all these different winners, right now, Gabe, of the top 16, only Elliott, Kenseth, and McMurray are in right now without a win. However, they have a pretty good point cushion over everybody else. In fact, they're 58 points ahead of the 17th spot. So Clint Bowyer and then Logano and Eric Jones basically have to win a race to catch up at this point. So unless Bowyer, Logano, or Jones wins one of these final two, it's pretty much over, I think, unless somebody finishes dead last and then another guy finishes, like, second. So it's really actually, as wide open as the season's been, it's very little drama right now for these final two races.
Let's get caught up. But before we get out of here, we've got some futures. And we still got to wait a little while, though, because you got 10 races in a playoff after. But, you know, it's not a full football season if you're playing a future. And you keep talking about this with Martin Truex having having all those stage wins that's really going to help him in this playoff format.
Yeah, you know, I'll have to pull it up. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I posted it on Twitter a couple weeks ago. It was a great link on NASCAR.com with the actual bonus point scenario. And Truex Jr. and Kyle Busch combined have like 80% of all the bonus points going into the chase. Truex is going to be about 30 points ahead of like the next of the bottom drivers without bonus points. Kyle Busch will be like 10 or 20 ahead. And that almost translates to finishing dead last in a race and still transferring to the next round of three. So Truex and Kyle Busch almost have an automatic pass into the second
round.
It's
like a mini bye week. It's like a little mini bye week. And we talk about it like with the baseball teams. You know, your chances are better to get to the World Series if you don't have to play that single elimination play-in game, right? Like, their odds just go up a little bit more. And incidentally, they're the two favorites. Martin Truex Jr. is plus 350. to win the championship, the Monster Energy Cup. Kyle Busch is plus 350 as well. Kyle Larson plus 500. Jimmy Johnson plus 650. Kevin Harvick plus 650. Keselowski plus 700. Hamlin plus 1200.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Kyle Larson's a guy we do have to mention. He's been by far the third-best driver this year after Busch and Truex. He has a ton of second-place finishes. Obviously, he's young. That would be the concern there. Kyle Busch won the championship. Truex Jr.'s come very close, so I don't worry about them. The one guy I would fade there, though, is Jimmy Johnson. He's on there on name alone. In fact, he's got three wins this season. And going into last week, he wasn't better than top nine in any other race all year than his three wins. He had no other top fives but the three races he won. He has not been nearly as dominant. And that Hendrick team hasn't been very strong. You know, Earnhardt Jr. has been terrible. And Chase Elliott's struggling just to make the chase even right now off of that team.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the coverage experts. Well, Steve, we're not going to speak on Monday. And they're not screwing around. They couldn't even find anyone to do our radio show for us. No operators, no nothing on Monday night. But we'll be back on Tuesday on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We got to get you on with me and Cam. We have a lot of fun. It's a wild show. Weeknights at 8 o'clock Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So then the next time we speak on TV will be next Friday, and the NFL season would have already started. Starts Thursday night with the Chiefs. Where are you leaning right now, with the underdog or the favorite, Chiefs or Patriots?
Well, you know what I say every year about week one is that the results in week one correlate so little to the rest of the season that it's almost like a mini preseason still. Now, that doesn't always hold up for that Thursday night opener because you've got quality teams. And it's just tough to ever bet against the Patriots. You know, it's just the fact is they come to play. It's currently around about an 8-point line. Point spread is tough, but I'll tell you, they look like a pretty attractive teaser, taking them down to minus two, puts them basically in a straight-up win situation on that strong home field.
Yeah, they'll be a strong, they'll be a big-time, strongly played survivor pick, without a doubt, next week as well. Although, I mean, Pittsburgh are going to be the biggest ones.
Well, you can take Pittsburgh right now from minus eight down to minus two at Cleveland as well. That's not a bad two-team teaser.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of teasers being played next Sunday, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I wish I could meet the guy that invented the teaser. Like, not just the guy that invented it, but they invented the name, the teaser. Like, it's just like, I just imagine like some mob guy sitting in a room. He goes, "We'll call it a teaser because people will think they're going to win, but we're really teasing them. They're not going to win. It's like we're teasing them into thinking they're going to win."
And what's funny is, you know, they're terrible bets on everything but NFL football, where you could actually have a huge edge if you're playing the right point spreads like we're talking about.
Oh, I love NFL teasers. Yeah, you can't play college. We can't assume everybody knows everything, but we got to tell people that. If you're at home right now, don't play college football teasers, guys. Don't do it.
Of course, is because the lines are – the scoring is higher and the lines aren't as accurate, so you're not getting as much value with the extra 6 points, and that, of course, is the reason. But a quick life lesson, anytime it involves gambling and money and something that's called a teaser, you probably should run, not walk.
And away from it, not to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got to clarify that as well, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. Happy Labor Day to Steve Merrill. Happy Labor Day weekend to Steve and his family. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Big man on campus steps up and in. We talk some college football with the big man from SBR.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. You know what else continues? The countdown to the college football games of this evening. Great stuff with Steve Merrill, one of the coverage experts, ProSportsInfo.com, that just joined us. We've been very college heavy over the last 48 to 72 hours, and with good reason. But don't worry, guys. We're going to jump in. We're going to go balls deep into the National Football League next week. We are on the Fantasy Sports Network, and I've noticed like people are more down with the NFL than they are college. Around here with the props and the fantasy and everything else in between. But I noticed this week our college football hits are getting a lot of hits actually online because people want to bet on football. We have some big-time college football We got football all throughout the weekend, including on Monday night, Labor Day, Georgia Tech and Tennessee. And then next Thursday, of course, NFL starts, and then we're off to the freaking races, man. So let's bring in a big man on campus from sportsbookreview.com. Jeff Nadeau steps up and in. Big man, always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
Good talking to you, Gabe. Always always fun to chat with Gabriel Morenci. Always fun.
So, yeah, what's the deal? I saw you on Twitter the other day. Was it in Vegas? I saw you tweeting a casino, but I didn't recognize the spot, but it looked like Vegas. So were you in Vegas?
No, I have a short home in Atlantic City, so I'm in and out of the casinos, unfortunately. We can't sports bet here, but I go and play poker and craps, and I'm always at the casino, kid.
All right, that's pretty cool. Yeah, you know what? Hopefully they get sports betting. It's going to the Supreme Court.
We're hoping, man. We're rooting for it.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was like, man, I didn't see him tweet about Vegas or talk about Vegas, but I saw you in a casino, and I lived in Vegas, so I pride myself on recognizing. I was looking. I'm like, I don't recognize this place.
I'm always there late night, Gabe. We're rooting for sports betting. Hopefully it'll come in next year. We're rooting for it.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to Vegas. That's why we had to tape this. Normally we shoot it live, but I got to go enter the super contest. I actually don't want to go. It's a pain in the ass. I wish I didn't have to go in person to enter, but it is what it is. And I actually dislike the contest. It pisses me off. But I finished in eighth place 2 years ago, so I'm almost like, you win 55K. It's like I'm kind of stuck for life playing now. How can I say I'm not going to play this year,
No, hey, listen, I'll tell you what, Gabe. If I lived in Vegas, I'd play every year. It's just I can't really – if I can go and make the plays, I would gladly play. It's just I'm not looking to pay someone 10-20% to go and hit a couple buttons for me. I'm more of a college guy, Gabe. I'll be real. I love college football. That's my thing.
That's why you're a big man on campus. Let's say you're not –
That's correct.
And you're not a fan of the $300 proxy fee, huh?
No. And then I got to tip them if I win anything substantial. So
it is aggravating, actually. It's a lot of money. You add it up. It really is. I got to be honest. We have partners and stuff like that. And I have a team where the viewers actually chipped in. Because, if you're playing by yourself, it's $1,500 to enter, $300 for the proxy. That's $18. All right. Now we got, you and I are both on the East Coast. That's another $1,000 to get there, plus the hotels and everything. Next thing
win $1 million, what are you going to give them? 10% probably? It's like, come on.
He ain't getting 10% if I win $1 million. There's no way in hell I'm tipping $100,000.
Then I don't want to be called cheap then either, so it's like I got to do something substantial. For me, it's just like I'll bet a game to game. I'll stick with my college. I'll bet on my added games and be happy. You know what I mean?
I think, the proxy guy, he's a good guy. Vegas Maddie. I've had the same guy for years. He had the winner last year. The guy won like 900K.
And sure.
I think he told me the guy gave him 5,000.
Oh, wow.
That's not bad. You don't know the guy. Plus, you already paid the guy $300 to put the picks in, right?
What was he, a coffee guy or something?
Yeah. He works, no joke, he works at Starbucks at the Luxor.
Amazing.
And he didn't quit.
Hey, listen, Gabe, he's a bigger man than me because I would have said, I don't want to say the word, but you know what I would say to them if I won.
Well, maybe you liked them. Instead of being deaf, you'd be like, I see, I quit. Like, for obvious, I don't even know. It's not even debatable, Jeff, really, is it? Like, it's like, dude, you just won $918,000. You don't need to work at Starbucks anymore. buy a Starbucks franchise. Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly. You got to think bigger. Yeah, I wouldn't stay there another hour if I was
another hour.
Good for him. He must love coffee and love making it. Good for him.
I used to, when I was on AM radio years ago, I really hated, my boss and stuff, all right? I got good guys I work with now, but there was this one guy, I really disliked the guy. And I actually told him, I said, you know what? I don't like playing the lottery, but I said, I play the lottery now. Because I've heard that the radio station's for sale for $3 million. I saw it in the paper. The station was for sale for $3 million. And I was like, man, the lottery's like $5 million, $7 million. I was like, if I win the lottery, I'll buy the radio station. And I won't tell them.
Exactly.
I'd walk in, I would have fired like 80% of them. You're gone. You can stay. Yeah. You're gone. And same thing. I'm sure you're the same way, Jeff. I love what I do so much. Literally, if I won a couple of million dollars, I'd still be doing shows. I'd still do my thing.
Yeah, I would.
The only difference is
like a beautiful studio. studio.
Exactly. The only difference is I'll be doing it on a penthouse suite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm live from Beverly Hills. What's going on? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'd still do what I did, except I'd be sitting in a nice chair and I'd have hot chicks like waving fans around me.
That's exactly right. I'd do this under any circumstance. It wouldn't matter to me.
You remember at the IFBC, I gave Florida Atlantic. I love the over win total this year. It was 4 at the time. It's pretty much been bet up to 4.5 everywhere. They've got a couple of tough tests, man. They got to open up with the Middies, and then they got to go to Wisconsin up there to Madison to take on the Badgers. But I tell you, the betting market seems to like the Owls in this game, man. Money keeps coming in on FAU down to 9.5.
Yeah, it's amazing. I know the South Point in Vegas opened this at 21. It's down to 9. Amazing.
Unreal.
Yeah, Gabe, I know you like FAU long-term, and I'm not going to lie. I do think they're going to win 5 or 6 games. I really do. I think once the cohesiveness comes together, they're going to be just fine. But, Gabe, I got to be honest. I hate them in this game. I love Navy. I'm a big military schools guy, Gabe. I love them. I love the discipline. I love the they don't do anything stupid. They're well-prepared. You know, Gabe, you know what Florida Atlantic is to me right now? You ever see, when you were younger, that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Island of the Misfit Toys?
Yeah.
That's what Florida Atlantic is. They're rejects, all of them. Everyone, no one else wants them. So they go to some school down in Florida that's known for old people and retirement, and they put a football team together. If Lane Kiffin didn't coach at Florida Atlantic, would anyone care at all about the Owls?
I've been telling people all they're missing is, like, OJ's getting out pretty soon, October 1st. Because, yeah, you got Kendall Briles as the OC.
Reject.
Yeah, you got Kendall Briles the OC. You got Lane Kiffin as the head coach. And you got DeAndre Jordan's their quarterback, who punched a chick at Florida State and got booted. And you know you got to be a bad kid when Jimbo Fisher won't keep you.
Their top receiver's out, Khalib Woods, for simple assault. Their coaches, I mean, no one else wants them, so they're going out to Florida. Listen, he's going to do something good there. I really believe that. I think he'll be
Against the Sun Belt guys. Well, not the Sun Belt. They were in the Sun Belt. But against the Conference USA opponents that they're playing, exactly. You know, I think they can get to 6 in a bowl. I don't need them. I only need to get to 5. But I agree with you. And I'm high on this team for the win total because I just think that coaching staff will eat up some of the coaches that they play against, right? But without being stated, I'm not getting in front of the middies. How the hell are Florida Atlantic and these kids? Like you said, you got a bunch of kids from Florida that have never dealt with a rushing attack like this in their life before.
And you know what, Gabe? They weren't good at it last year either. They were 119th in the country against the run. And listen, I don't know if anyone knows, but you don't just miraculously get better defensively because you made a coaching change. They might be able to do some things early, but I think overall they're going to wear them down. Navy's really good defensively this year. They're much better than they were last year. I think they go in and win easily. I think people are way too high on Florida Atlantic, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, they're a little too trendy for me right now in this spot to bet in the single spot here. Washington and Rutgers, a game I've talked quite a bit about throughout the week. And I'm just warning people long-term, not so much as far as this game is concerned, but if you think Washington was sort of like a one-off last year or that they're not as good or, oh, because they lost the fast kid in John Ross, that they're not a dangerous football team, listen, without a doubt, the best trio of skill position players are with Oklahoma State, right, with Rudolph, with Hill, and with Washington. But I'll tell you what, man, at Washington, you know, and the other one, with Washington here, Jake Browning, listen, the guy chokes in big games. I understand that. I'm not saying, you know, I'd take him first overall in the NFL draft, but he did throw 43 touchdowns last year. Everyone talks about Sam Darnold. This kid's tying Pac-12 records and stuff like that. You know, he's putting up big numbers. And you got Gaskin, you got Pettis back there. They're a dangerous freaking team. I know Rutgers is supposed to be better. I'm not in a rush to lay 27.5, even though I think the Huskies cover, but I think the total's too low at 52.5, man.
I agree with you 1,000%. I've given this out on my shows at SBR. I love the over. I don't get this number. I thought it'd be up closer to 60. Gabe, you have to point out, while they are very good offensively, Browning, so many weapons, they lost a lot defensively. That's their whole secondary. They lost some really good up-front players.
That's a good
their
point.
Top player.
Yeah, Buda Baker, player, Kenny King. They had a King kid, Buda Baker.
Sidney
you're right.
Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
And Gabe, in this game, their best player is Zeem Victor. The linebacker's out. He's suspended for violation of team rules. I like Rutgers. I'm not going to say they're going to win much, But they have Jerry Kill now as their offensive coordinator. They're a team that gave up last year. They have a solid quarterback, and Jadarian Grant's a name to remember. He might do some good things tomorrow against this Washington secondary that's young. I like this at like 45-17, you know, 41-17, something like that. I don't understand this total, Gabe. I think we see this one get close to 60, if not get into the 60s.
Yeah, look at last year they played. They got to 61. And it's the same thing. Yeah. I said it was last week with Stanford and Rice. Everyone's like, oh, I don't know if Rice is going to be able to score. I was like, even if they don't worry. Stanford's going to get into the 50s.
And the thing about Rutgers is everyone thinks they're going to be down. Last year, they gave up on that season. Jerry Kill is a fighter. This team is going to fight for him as the offensive coordinator. And Grant didn't play the final eight games. They have a quarterback that's been there, Giovanni Rossigno. He's going to control the offense. Robert Martin in the ground game. I like this team. They're not going to win a ton of games, but I don't think they're going to be useless offensively. They will put up some points in this game.
What do you make? Are you buying into the hype with Colorado State after last week, putting up 58 on the board?
I'm not sure I'm buying the hype. I think this game's another high-scoring affair against Colorado. Colorado's two freshman cornerbacks that I'm very scared for. Jim Leavitt bolted to Oregon. This team, Colorado, is nowhere near what they were last year. Their all-time leading passer, Sifu Lufau, is at the Bucks now. They're going to put some points on the board. They have a good offense. Defensively, they have some trouble. We know Colorado State can move the football as well. The total's in the 60s, but I think we see a 41-38 type of game. I don't know that I buy into them, though. No, Oregon State's not good. Colorado's definitely down. In the Mountain West, I still don't think they're better than San Diego State or Boise. We'll see. They'll definitely be a team going bowling and maybe more.
All right, I got to ask you, man. I got to ask the Philly kid here about the Temple Owls. Temple and Notre Dame. So, listen, Hassan Reddick is in the NFL right now. I wasn't the biggest fan of Walker. He frustrated me, but he made plays. He was a tough kid. He made plays for them. You know, so, you know, I guess you can make an argument. All right, your quarterback's gone, your best linebacker's gone, and your head coach is gone. But 18.5 points, and I know Temple, I know their defense is going to be good. I know it's going to be a smash-mouth game, and I also know that Brian Kelly's on the hot seat, and he just needs to win. He's not in a situation where he's comfortable enough that he needs to cover and stuff. The boosters will be happy with a freaking win, let alone a cover in this spot. Temple are a hard team to blow out. It seems like too many points to me here, 18.5.
They are a very hard team to blow out, and they're a team built on defense with their new hire, Jeff Collins. You know, Gabe, it's funny looking at this quarterback depth chart. It looks like I'm looking at those old papers from the FBI where they would look up mobsters. It looks like I'm looking at that. I mean, I see all kind of paisans on this quarterback depth chart. Everyone's a paisan. Who are they going to pick?
Oh, no.
McGill and Mark G, and there's so many paisans here. It's amazing.
Well, you guys couldn't find a brother from the hood, man, somewhere? Like,
no, they're going with the paisans here. It's beautiful. But
I just think, when I think of paisan quarterbacks, I think of a guy in from Penn there, Sun Seri. Maybe the guy I hated the most. I hate picking on kids.
Gino Sunseri. Oh, God, he pissed
me off, that kid, man.
I'll tell you this about them, Gabe, though. Their receivers are some of the best in the conference. Defensively, their secondary remains intact. I agree. 18 points is too much. A new quarterback in Brandon Wimbush for Notre Dame. Brian Kelly had a terrible year last year. I often wonder why he was retained. I don't know. I understand it. I agree, though. I don't know their look to cover this game. I think it's like a 31-20 type of game. I don't know that it'll be really that high scoring, but a new quarterback, again, I know Temple's got a new one.
Exactly. 20-10, 24-13.
They're going to run the football, Temple. They got a good running back in Raquel Armstead. They're a team that's gritty. We know North Philadelphia's gritty. Gabe, have you ever been to Temple University? Ever?
No, I haven't.
You probably never will either, because it's in the middle of the hood in North Philly, but these kids are tough. They play hard. They're not going to worry about Notre Dame. They'll be fine.
I'm not allowed on most college campuses, Jeff. it's like Ivy League schools. I couldn't get into an Ivy League school. I don't think I'd be allowed on campus. They'd be like, what are you doing here, sir?
I don't think either. They'd kick me out quick.
Yeah, no, I've actually been to quite a few campuses, though, all kidding aside. I've been to Ole Miss. I've been to Mississippi.
Listen, here's what I'm going to ask you, Gabe. Come down to Temple this winter. Me and Donnie Redstaff will take you to Temple, Wichita State, up on North Broad Street. Nice atmosphere. Basketball game, Temple be good this year.
I'd rather go to basketball, exactly, than football. Exactly.
We got you. Me and Donnie Wright said we got the connect.
No, I got to come down. Not too far from me either. All right. Yep. So, too many points in that football game. All right, I'm a Michigan fan, but I never bet with my heart, and it kind of upsets me. You know, Jim Harbaugh is such a public guy, so you never really get fair value at Michigan games now, right? So, sure. You know, and this game, Michigan were 5 in the summertime, then it got bet down. Then I was telling people, man, it's a lot of points to lay with Michigan. But now, you know, got taken off the board. It got put back up. We got all the suspension with Florida. They finally announced Felipe Franks going to be the starting quarterback, although they say they're going to play all three guys, Zaire, Del Rio, and Franks. But you know what they say, big man, when you got three quarterbacks that are playing, it means you don't have one good one. So they're going to have this rotation here. A lot has been said. I think people are underestimating Michigan. Spoke to Ed Fang out there at the IFBC. He was like, oh, you know, maybe an 8-win team this year for this team. I think people are underestimating Harbaugh's talent and his coaching ability. And Wilton Spate's back at quarterback. They're going to be able to run the football. Florida, to me, they don't have enough to expose Michigan's young defenders. Yeah, Michigan have a lot of young guys, but it's not like they got, like, you know, 2-star recruits here. Like, they're going to be just fine. And I just don't see how Florida move the football on these guys.
I have to wonder. I don't know if they'd be able to move the football with Callaway and Scarlett without them now. And Gabe, I'm going to tell you right now, I've heard some things about this thing that these kids are involved in. I don't know that they're going to come back anytime soon. I've heard some bad things about why they're suspended, and if it's all true, it won't be good. But Scarlett, running back, if he's in there, maybe you get a chance. But without him now, I mean, I think this is an ugly football game. I think it's going to be hard to watch at some points. I think, like you said, I think Michigan's going to want to run the football. I mean, that's their strength right now. I don't know that Wilton Spate's going to be able to carry this team through the air this year. He'll be a servicer. He'll be a game manager. But defensively is where they're going to make their money like they did last year. I think this is a boring, low-scoring football game. I had to laugh, Gabe, when Malik Zaire, he went to Florida. Everyone was all hype about Florida. They got a quarterback. He couldn't last at Notre Dame 2 straight years. What makes you think he's going to get out of Florida and do anything? I think this is a low-scoring game. I'd be surprised, honestly, if it gets to 40. I think it's a low 17-10, really boring game, I think.
Yeah, yeah. 10 players now. And it's one after another. Maybe. It doesn't end. So, yeah, you mentioned Jordan Scarlett, which is just devastating for them. They're already without Antonio Callaway.
Like, that was the thing for me, Gabe. Like, Callaway, it's, you know, most of the players that have been suspended don't even play. So
yeah,
it's not
exactly.
That big a deal, but it's depth, though, and it's also now you're starting to see the big names come out. You don't have a quarterback. Jim McElvain's in trouble with this team. They're going to have problems all year, I think.
Yeah, like you said, if there's investigations going on behind the scenes. And
they're not good either. This is some criminal things that you can't make up. So yeah. I don't know they're going to be able to sweep this under the carpet.
Yeah, they got away with it, too, when you're good on the field with the Tebow era and stuff. Fernandez could shoot someone in the face outside of a strip club and the cops. All right, everyone just go home.
But that's with Urban Meyer and this team. Listen, they're not good enough to commit.
Yeah, but you're right. It's the biggest thing, like, with college football off, and you'll hear that, oh, 8 kids are suspended. And, you know, ESPN has the headline or whatever. Nobody ever really reads it. And, you know, whatever, man. Half these kids are, you know, the redshirt freshmen, they don't play, et cetera. Look at the key players. But Florida losing, I mean, you lose your best running back. You lose your top wide receiver.
And you pretty much have no quarterback. So yeah. Your offense is really – I'll tell you what, Gabe, I won't lie to you. I liked Florida with the points. I thought a lot of people would migrate to Michigan. They're a public side. But when you really look at it, not many of the kids that were suspended played off this.
They might not score. They might not score.
No,
like, it might literally. Like, it might be a 13-0, 13-3 game. Michigan, Harbaugh's just got to grind through this and get a win. It's not an easy game for him to open up with all these young kids. He doesn't care, man, how it looks cosmetically. They're just going to run the ball. Everyone, I've had a lot of guys telling me they're liking FSU plus the 7. I want to talk myself into it. The fact is, we know, and we've only got about 2-3 minutes here, Jeff, so 2 minutes, let's say. You know, I've brought it up a million times. I don't want to repeat myself, but it's true. The only people to give Saban's defense problems are mobile quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson the last 2 years, Cam Newton, Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow going back over the years. DeAndre Francois is that guy. But FSU, you know, I don't know. I have a hard time trusting. I think they can hang around. I can't get in front of Bama. You like betting on overs and totals. So do I. I love the over 49.5 here. Too much speed on the field not to get there.
Yep, and if you read into Alabama, they've made it clear they're going to throw the football down the field a little bit more. Hurts is a better passer. Yeah, Gabe, look, in the middle of the season, I think Florida State would give them some trouble, but Saban's had a whole summer to prepare for this game. It's just a bad matchup for Florida State. They have young running backs. They got to replace Dalvin Cook. Cam Akers will be better than Dalvin Cook. You heard it here first, but he's too young right now. The receivers didn't play well last year. I'm not really high on them this year. I love their defense, but you're right. Two mobile quarterbacks should see some points here. I think the total's a little low. I think Alabama will cover. I think they win by 10-plus, to be honest. I just don't think this is a good matchup week one. If it was week 7 or 8, maybe. But, you know, it's not going to affect either's stock, I mean, long term. This is a game that really doesn't mean a whole lot because if either team loses, it's not going to hurt them.
Yeah, it's a good point. It does and it doesn't. You know, I know what you mean, though. I know what you mean.
Sure.
You know what sucks? Earlier in the week, we're going to get out of here, but earlier in the week, I put together, you know, I'm going to be in Vegas. So I was like, you know, I was talking to my buddy down there. Said, you know, how about a Michigan-Alabama moneyline parlay? And it was actually plus 122. Now it's minus 103. But Michigan-Alabama moneyline parlay at plus money, that sounds pretty good to me, big man. Big man on campus. Check out his work, sportsbookreview.com. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff with Jeff and Donnie Wrightside this upcoming football season. And they'll be joining us a ton here at the Fantasy Sports Network. So great stuff, big man on campus. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, man.
If you can do it, get Croatia, Gabe, minus 3.5. World Cup qualifier Saturday. Big win, 6-0.
Minus 3.5, Croatia. Lay the lumber. Lay the 3.5 goals. They're going to win by at least 4, says big man. He loves his soccer as well. Game time decision on Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Thanks to the big man, Jeff Nadeau, sportsbookreview.com, for joining us. You can obviously tell this this dude loves college football, and he knows what he's talking about as well. Like I've said, how the hell do we not take Temple plus the 18 points? Seriously, Temple plus 18? I got to take it. Notre Dame doesn't need to. Brian Kelly's, this guy's fighting for his job right now. He doesn't need to cover point spreads. He just needs to get the win. I think Notre Dame get the win probably by about 7 or 10 points. But we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our top best bets for tonight's Friday night's card. And I got a couple of good ones.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day, and we're going to start off with Colorado State and Colorado. Man, this is going to be an entertaining football game. I want to take Colorado State plus the points, but it's almost become too trendy, and the number's just a little bit too low right now. But let's tease Colorado State. Give me Colorado State teased up plus 10.5, and let's go over 59.5, but let's also bet on the over. Colorado are damn good on offense, guys. They're going to go up and down the field on Colorado State. It's going to be a track meet. Going to go back and forth. Colorado do have better athletes. It's a tough game, but let's tease Colorado State to the over and give me a straight bet on over 66.5 as well. Navy and Florida Atlantic. I'm high on Florida Atlantic to go over their season win total. Except Florida, and I don't like the spread right now. I liked them earlier in the week, so we're going to pass on the Florida Atlantic Navy football game. Love the over. Washington and Rutgers, over 52.5, man. I tell you right now, the Washington Huskies are going to put up 45 or 50 on their own. Rutgers will be able to score 17 or 21. Love this. I'm going to be betting this one big, and Other than that, for our final picks, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/sportsrage. Over the weekend, I'll be in Vegas. May the winners be yours.